There is our school bell. That means it is time for the Warren County Radio Bible School. When you hear that bell, and I'd invite you at this time to get your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Timothy. We're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, and examining this as a part of our study of Timothy as one of the great men of the Bible. To guide us in this study, we're looking at Elam's notes that were written for the Sunday schools of September 23rd, 1923. Now, while you're turning to 2 Timothy chapter 1, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. Because of the COVID virus that has plagued this county, we started way back in March of 2020 of broadcasting our services over the radio on a low-power FM station that reaches our parking lot. And many have come to our services and have listened to the services and participated from the parking lot that have never entered our building. It has been so successful that often we have more in the parking lot than we have in the building itself. And you are welcome to come in your automobile and tune your radio to, I think it's FM 100.3, but it's on the sign out in front of the building. And then I will come out to the car and I will greet you, but then you can at least listen to the service if for some reason you don't feel safe about coming into the building due to some kind of sickness. We have had people there that have never entered the building from the neighborhood that have come simply to listen and be part of our assembly in that fashion. And you are welcome to do so. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now let's look at our study. Paul's second epistle to Timothy, found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. And we got down to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3 in our last class. I'll read that again. Paul said to Timothy, I thank God, whom I served from my forefathers in a pure conscience. How unceasing is my remembrance of thee in my supplications night and day. Paul speaks in Acts chapter 24 and verse 14 of serving the God of our fathers after the way the Jews called a sect. That was since he became a Christian. So he must mean in this verse that he was then serving God before he worshiped God according to the law and persecuted the church. But he did so in good conscience, verily believing he thought he ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus, Acts 26 and verse 9. But he did this ignorantly, in unbelief. Let me read to you 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. Paul wrote to Timothy saying, I thank him that enabled me, even Christ Jesus our Lord, for that he counted me faithful, appointing me to his service, though I was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. Howbeit, I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord abounded exceedingly with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Faithful is the saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me, as chief, might Jesus show forth all his long-suffering for an example to them that should hereafter believe on him to eternal life. Paul did not violate his conscience, although conscience is not a correct guide. God's will is the guide, but to do that which one's conscience believes to be wrong is the sin, because then one has the consent of heart to do wrong. One cannot do so well as to have a conscience void of offense toward God and men always, as did Paul, Acts 24:16. But one's duty to God and men is determined by and must be learned from the will of God. Paul prayed for Timothy unceasingly night and day, remembering Timothy's tears and desire to see him. Jesus wept, Paul wept, and Timothy wept. True and good men and godly women weep. Sin and its consequences, false brethren and failing friends, treachery and persecution are enough to make one weep. Timothy was none the less strong because in sympathy for Paul and over grievous wrongs of others, he wept. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4, Paul writes that to Timothy saying that he is longing to see thee, remembering thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. In prison, as any human being would, Paul longed to see Timothy and exhorted him to hasten to come to him. Timothy going to Paul would fill him with joy. I'm not in prison for the gospel's sake, but amid the trials and conflicts to be endured, and through efforts to remain faithful, I rejoice in the association of true and tried brethren. And then we read in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, having been reminded of the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. That is another reason for Paul's gratitude, Timothy's unfeigned faith, which his mother and grandmother possessed, as to which reference has already been made. And then, verse 6, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, for which cause I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee through the laying on of my hands. Through this unfeigned faith which Timothy manifested, Paul exhorted him to stir up, and in the marginal reading of the American Standard Version says, stir into a flame the gift of God which was in him by the laying on of Paul's hands. Timothy possessed a gift which was bestowed upon him by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery or the elders. This must be the gift of this verse. This is called the gift of God because it came from God. This was a miraculous gift, enabling Timothy to do that which he could not have done without it. It inspired him. By neglect, however, it would become useless. And next he was exhorted to stir it up, to use it. All gifts must be used in order to become beneficial and strong. When it comes to the things that we are able to do for the service of the Lord, the old adage applies, use it or lose it. But now let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Here we read Paul writing to Timothy saying, but abide thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a babe thou hast known the sacred writings which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. Timothy is exhorted to abide in the things he had learned and had been assured of, knowing of whom he had learned them. Timothy had learned these things from his grandmother and from his mother and from the inspired apostle. This exhortation applies to all Christians today. we should continue to practice to worship God in the work of the church. Only the principles and commandments received from the Word of God. We must be careful as to the origin of the teaching we practice, as Timothy was exhorted to be. Nothing must be added or taken from the Word of God, Galatians 1, 6 through 10, Revelation 22, 18 and 19. Of the things which Timothy had learned from Paul, he had been assured from the sacred writings. Now, the old King James Version you have says, from the Holy Scriptures. He had been assured from the Holy Scriptures that which he had known from a child. Jesus, while on earth, established his claims to be the Son of God and the Christ by the Holy Scriptures, that referring to the Old Testament. Paul proved that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ and the Son of God by those same scriptures. And so did Peter, and so did Apollos. These scriptures were able to make Timothy or anyone else wise into salvation because they established the claims of Jesus, proving that he is the Christ and the Savior. Therefore, they lead to the faith which is in Christ Jesus. They make us wise unto salvation through faith in Christ. Here we are impressed with the truth that faith comes through hearing the Word of God. And Timothy not only had those scriptures that were written by those prophets of old under the Old Covenant and the Old Testament, but he also had at least some of those scriptures that composed the New Testament in these very letters that Paul was sending to him. Timothy had learned the scriptures from Eunice, his mother, and from Lois, his grandmother, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, because they were women of unfeigned faith. This faith was first in his grandmother, then planted and cultivated in the mother, and then in the son. This is encouraging to patients to teach as God directs the Word of God diligently to their children. Let the grandparents and the parents faithfully practice daily the principles of Christianity now, and seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and we will see many more young men like Timothy. Now, at the end of this Sunday school lesson that Elam wrote for the Sundays of September 23rd, 1923, he includes these poetic lines that come from the poet named Cooper. Now, we might know him. His name is spelled C-O-W-P-E-R, and some pronounce that Cowper, but the correct pronunciation is Cooper. And here are some things that Cooper wrote. Truth, crushed to the earth, shall rise again. The eternal years of God are hers, but error, wounded, writhes with pain and dies among his worshippers. There stands the messenger of truth. There stands the legate of the skies, his theme divine, his office sacred, his credentials clear. By him the violated law speaks out its thunders, and by him in strains as sweet as angels use, the gospel whispers peace. He establishes the strong, restores the weak, reclaims the wanderer, and binds the broken heart. William Cooper, a great poet that often included teachings from the Bible in his poetry. Now, as we have discussed, Paul wrote two letters to Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, we find them. And since we're talking about Timothy, I'm going to read those two letters to you in the next class that we have. So you'll want to take your Bible and mark in it 1 Timothy. And I'll give a brief introduction to these two letters, and we'll study them as we continue this study. And they will help us understand why Timothy should be ranked among the great men of the Bible.